Hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back
to the Second Paradigm Podcast.
We're your hosts, David.
And Miriam.
That's us. We switched. Yeah, let's talk about stuff. Like stuff that matters.
Okay.
That's my kick right now.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Just now, though.
Yeah, because before we talked about stuff that didn't matter.
Sure.
Like eternal peace. And
sure.
And radiating your essence out into the world. Like that shit.
Are you wanting to talk about like the state of the world? Is that what you mean?
Not even.
Oh.
Largely irrelevant. We can talk about it in the fact that it's largely irrelevant.
Okay. What do you got?
I mean, we can go anywhere. We can go militia. We can go cattle. We can go Taiwan and China. Basically, it's like insert blank. We can even go back to 2020, Black Lives Matter. We can go back to Georgie Floyd, who I'm sure is sitting pretty on an island right now. We can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that it's largely irrelevant. To your own life, your own personal circumstances.
Agreed.
Because when we're checking in with God, when we're using our intuition, which is our direct line of communication, it's how you get on the horn with the big guy. It's through that intuitive connection. You check in and you're like, this isn't here for me. I don't care. I don't care about your stupid books on white people. Or black people, or whatever the fucking the color was, you know? And it's like that's applicable and hasn't stopped being applicable. It's like none of this is actually here for me. And then people are like, what do you mean it's not here for you? Where's your rainbow flag? It's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing.
Yeah.
I'm not putting a black and white picture up of myself because I'm a woman and you told me I should do this. Because we're celebrating women or whatever. There's all these like trends and things and like it's all the same rhetoric. It's all the same thing every single time. And it all comes down to like, oh, this isn't applicable. But like people have such an issue. I don't know if they still do. Maybe everybody's fucking over it. But like probably not. Just saying no. Or taking like an even firmer stance of like, this isn't applicable. It's like, what do you mean you don't care? It's like the whole mass thing, the whole vaccine. It's like you literally can insert anything that is in the collective field. We can all pull through our own examples and they're all going to be accurate, but largely irrelevant. Because what's here for us has nothing to do with that shit. All of that shit, all it does is derail us. It puts us on a detour. We go into the pocket of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we come out thinking that we're, oh, now we're a good person. Now we're a better person because we studied this and we did that. And we dedicated our last 6 months of our lives to this nonsense. I'm just seeing it everywhere. So that's why I want to talk about shit that matters. And the only thing that matters is your intuitive connection, which is your direct line to God, which has the vantage point of all of existence. So how does any of this other shit matter? God fucking rained the fucking manna from the fucking sky. Like, we're good. All you Bible fucking thumpers that are also thumping your stupid fucking storable foods that have zero nutritional value. My Patriot Supply, fuck off. Nobody's actually teaching anything real.
Yeah.
All of these people that were at one time intriguing to me and exciting to me, David Nino, I mean, I loved him. I watched all of his shows. When I caught him live, I was like, yes. And I loved his fiery demeanor. I loved that he said whatever the fuck he wanted to say. It was so cool. It gave me gusto to say whatever the fuck I want to say. Scott McKay is out there calling bullshit on the Bible, saying shit's missing. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. I've always felt this way.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where it's like it works until it doesn't, because these people are still saying the exact same things. There's no way. David Nino, I'm sure he's still hustling keto with Nino.
Yeah, with that, we're going to have to stop for a quick ad break. Be sure to go to mypatriotsupply.com/thesecondparadigm. Stock up on very nutritional, storable foods. Just kidding. That link doesn't exist. Someone's typing it in right now. Like, oh my God, they have one too?
No, we fucking don't.
No.
Because, yeah. No, we're going to say, so what's here for you? And then you're going to check in and you're going to be like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I should go to the farmer's market. There's one coming up on Saturday. And it's like, okay, cool. Go. It's like, yeah, yes. But I'm not getting anything else. Like, I didn't do a CSA. Like, I don't know any farmers. Like, no, 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 no. Oh, I know. It's play me your fucking goddamn violin. Give it time. You will find the farmers. You'll find the eggs. You'll find the CSA all in due time.
Agreed. So, yeah, let's get into the actual nuance here because we have more.
What Miriam means to say
no,
is.
No, it's not what Miriam means to say. I'm saying you're right, but let's take it further.
Okay.
Yes. We have more meat in our freezer than we've ever had before. We've never had a freezer. We bought a freezer.
We did.
We have a decent amount of meat. I mean, for a prepper, it's a laughable amount of meat. They're like, oh, so that's like for this month, right? Like that's what I you know. Bought this month. But still, we have more things
prep.
On hand. We are. But that feels important to say too, because the message here is not prepping is stupid. Close your, like, put on blinders to the world and say, fuck all of this stuff. It's irrelevant. I'm not going to do any of it because that's the stance I should be taking. That's also dog shit.
Right. Agreed.
Because I think that's where a lot of people are, is that they're frozen, don't know what to do, feel as though the economy is going to collapse, and they're kind of like holding on to their last remnants of hope that like maybe the dollar doesn't collapse before they retire at 59 and a half. Right?
Yeah.
Or like the stock market doesn't plummet to an all-time low when they turn 59 and a half, that there's still something there in their 401k. Like, it's not even that we aren't even really talking to those people, but it feels important to acknowledge that because that other extreme also exists.
Yeah.
So I think the preppers who are looking at the world and their way of dealing with it is I need to generate my own safety and security and prep for the end of the world.
Yes, it's so self-serving.
It is self-serving. And that's what I'm saying.
And they talk about God, which is so fucking contradictory. Because I'm like, yo, we ain't talking to the same God then.
Yes. I would argue there's zero real-time personal connection with divinity. And there's a connection to the book and to the idea of God as defined and laid out by the Bible. But what I was saying was these people who are prepping and their way of prepping is to encourage other people to prep and to use the capitalist system to allow them to have money to do this while also sharing material. I still think that is further along than someone who has their blinders on entirely and who refuses to look at the world because it's too scary.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. So okay. We can shit on the Patriots. But that movement is a response to something, and it's actually moved it quite a bit along. What we're saying is let's keep going and not get stuck there.
Right.
Right. Because we're always trying to press the edges here. We always are pressing the edges here.
Yeah. Can't help it.
And what we're saying
can't stop, won't stop.
Is there is no pre-templated solution to prepare for quote unquote the end of the world.
Right.
It's not to acquire so much shit that you feel safe. That is the old paradigm
mm-hmm.
getting reapplied
yes.
to an imagination of a future world that's terrible.
Yep.
So I need to have enough ammunition to kill everyone on the planet
yep.
when they come to try to take my shit because mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be the only one prepped.
Yeah.
But this is like an extreme, weird, dystopian version that they're running on. And there's going to be people coming after me. So I need to also know how to hide.
Yep.
And how to live and bushcraft
mm-hmm.
and survive out in the woods.
Yep.
I need to have a bunker somewhere out in a secondary location.
Right.
And I need to have drops of food that nobody can find stored in massive PVC pipes with caps on them,
mm-hmm.
glued so that on the way I can resupply just in case I get hurt on the mm-hmm. way to my bunker where I'm going to live for yep. 15 years
that
while
no
the world blows
over.
That
no one in my family knows about.
Sure, that no one in my family knows about or only the people who I care about enough in that scenario know about, right? And that's mm-hmm. also where shit gets real with all of the relational dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that extreme version of reality isn't real. It's not real. There's elements of it that could happen, but it's not real. Mm-hmm. They made it up. It's fucking imaginary.
Yep.
So they're playing into an imaginary world and preparing for the worst case scenario that is almost certain to not happen.
And they're like, well, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Yes, which is what you have to do when you don't have a real-time personal connection to divinity.
Right.
So what we're saying is we've come from a place where we started out very fucking Democrat, lefty, don't look at it, just check the boxes to be a good person, say the things to be a good person. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm anti-racist, anti-patriarchy. I think the world should be completely... Yeah, but like you kind of go along with it. You don't engage with it. You go along with it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, those are good people. Oh, yeah, I don't completely understand. But oh, yeah. Of course I support that. Yeah, you know, I want more equality. Who doesn't want more equality? Because the left has marketed their platform hundreds of times better than the right because they've been willing to emotionally manipulate. We've come from that place out into, okay, let's look at conservative stances and we went, oh shit, those make sense too. That's fucked up. I had no idea. To then, okay, let's keep going and let's look at all of the preppers and all the people talking about the end of the world and darkness and the underbelly of the world. We've gone through this journey because of our real-time personal connection to divinity. And the thing that's carrying us through this movement, not to this movement, is still that same real-time personal connection to divinity. Because we were talking to someone, message you on Instagram, and they were saying that they're in California, right? And they want to move. They want to move, but they have a full network there.
I don't know. I'm drawing a total
blank. Do you remember we left an audio? It was like a minute audio in the car. We were driving back about to make a left.
No, she's in New York.
Okay. Okay. So same. Basically exact same. Different, but the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. New York and California are like twinsies. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm in the center of where everyone says I need to get out. And here's where I'm most established.
Yeah.
I have everything already here.
Yeah.
But other people think I should move. Oh, and the message she got was, and my spiritual friends are telling me that I'm blocking the manifestation.
Yeah. And I said, your spiritual friend's a fucking idiot.
Yes.
Literally, that's what I said. It feels so nice to...
It does.
I said that to David first, and then I was like, I'm going to tell her. It feels nice. Yeah, my gap's all these closing. Thoughts,
I was like, let's just send an audio. Just send an audio.
Yeah, no, it was great. She loved it.
For her, staying in New York City is significantly more important than trying to move to be in a place that all of the preppers now say is the place to be.
Yeah, a freedom state. A free state.
Yes. Because how free is that free state?
Right.
And how established are you going to get, really? Like, there are all of these factors that people try to take into consideration logically that divinity already has taken into consideration. And when we feel safe in a location, when we feel as though there's nowhere to go, it's because we're legitimately safe in that location.
Yep.
And there's nowhere to go.
Yep.
There's nothing better than what our intuition is guiding us to. So I think those are the subtleties I want to press into a little bit, because it's easy to take a similar arc to us and end up in this pocket where there's all these people who seem to know what they're talking about, who seem to understand the world to a greater degree, and they're saying we have to prepare for the worst. It's in a way relieving to hit that community. It's relieving to look out and go, oh my God, these people are doing research on shit that actually matters. Like they seem to have an actual understanding of what the world is. It's relieving, but their solutions are stupid.
Agreed.
Their solutions are the worst possible solutions, because their solutions are to panic and then to pretend you're calm, use that manic panic to prepare in ways that you don't need to prepare for something that's not going to happen to the extreme that you actually think it's going to. The alternative is to trust yourself and to do what got you there in the first place.
Right.
As spiritual people, we only ended up in these pockets because we were intuitively led to them.
Yep.
They made us very uncomfortable. We didn't want to look at them. They seemed stupid. They seemed crazy. And then we kept looking and we're like, okay, there's something to this. Not exactly what they're saying, but there's something to this that runs parallel to it. There are deeper truths within what they're saying.
Yes.
And we can listen to an hour and a half interview and we can pull 3 or 4 minutes of something that's like, oh, that's legitimately true. And I didn't quite realize that. And that fills out the greater picture. And we'll leave an hour and 27 minutes on the table of like, ah, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. They just don't completely understand this. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's important to understand and to communicate beyond just like, don't prepare because preparing is stupid. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, do what you're called to do. And you even say that and it weaves into everything that you're saying. And I'm not saying what you said was bad. I'm trying to push it further because you say all the time in that pocket, like when you feel called to prep, you're going to prep.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to buy the things. It's just going to be the things.
Natural.
Yep. But we have to be able to watch our biology and understand that when we see things that are scary, we want to fix them with solutions.
Yep.
That's our solution internally, yeah. Biologically. That's our solution.
I think that's why I take that more extreme stance, yep. Because yep. The chances, it seems insane, mm-hmm. The chances of you not leaping into manic action. So I want to call that to the forefront first. And that's why mm-hmm. I say don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I err more on that side. And I mean, it's taken us a long time. I mean, we got the freezer like, I don't know, in October when we got here, I think.
Yep.
And I think we were even still planning to move to Texas at the time. We were just going to take the freezer with us. And yep. My mom ended up buying it. It made sense. There's three of us now here in this tiny house. Yep. Like, and yep. I mean, we had like two packs of burger in there, I think, in this big ass freezer. Yeah,
it was really silly. It was really silly. We're like, well, let's put our blueberries in there for smoothies. Yeah,
our blueberries. I know. It's just funny. And like now it's just kind of the freezer. We don't even really use the freezer in the kitchen. But
yeah,
it's like ice cubes and smoothie stuff. Mm-hmm. But
and like old bags of potatoes we're never going to eat.
Yeah. Not potatoes. French fish sticks.
Oh, yeah. Fish sticks. Fish sticks. My and mom's like hot dogs. Sticks, yeah. From when we got here. Yeah. We're like 10 years old, but like I'll eat those one day.
No, never. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. But it was a long, slow process even getting that freezer. We thought about it. We looked at it.
100%.
We were looking at like better options if it was going to go on sale. We kind of were just like waiting it out. Like there wasn't any sense of urgency. It wasn't a rush. Yep. I don't know. It just like happened organically.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's even something to say about like in marketing, right? We've talked about this before in our marketing topic talk, actually, how the way marketers think about people buying things, and it's true, it's just purchasing psychology, is that once you buy it, you feel as though you're done.
Yeah.
So like people, there are people out there who buy a gun, put it in their safe and feel safer.
Yep.
It does nothing. That's stupid.
Right.
That's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
It's actually better to not feel safe than to feel falsely safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with this whole pocket. Like you can buy the storable food, but if you actually think about the reality where you're going to be eating it, you're going to immediately regret that decision.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I have this orange drink that I'm not going to drink. I have this disgusting oatmeal that I'm not going to eat.
I know.
I need real fucking food. Where am I going to get real fucking food? That's going to be the question. It's going to be like, okay, I can eat this shit, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I hate this and I wish I did something else.
Yeah. And for the same price, which is what I'm coming to realize, you can get a pressure canner for the same price as, I mean, you have to invest more with the jars and the lids and all that. But sure. Like, again, slowly over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more sustainable. And then you get to be a part of the process. Like you're actually. Because
what a 3-month supply is quite a fucking bit. Like to get a 3-month supply of those buckets.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It is quite a bit.
Yeah. Of powder.
Powder. Yeah. Freeze dried. There's better freeze dried food out there too.
Yeah.
There's a brand called Mountain Something. And like hikers and campers actually eat the stuff. Like when they go out. Yes. So they boil water and they actually eat it. And it's like. It's like, it's better.
At
least like diner food.
Yeah.
Diner food is certainly better than like survival food.
Yeah. We have a couple packs of those in our camping tote.
Yeah. We have probably a 72 hour pack, I think is what we got.
Yeah.
For one person. So we have a 24 hour pack.
So we're dead.
Yeah. So we got a day. We're going to eat really mediocre food.
Ice cream. We got the freezer. Ice cream.
Yeah, they didn't come in the pack. We bought them.
It's a morale boost. That's what all the preppers say. Oh, you need these things for morale boost.
Uh-huh. And they expire
soon.
Within the year.
Yeah, like so soon. We've had them for a long time.
Ice cream. Yeah.
We'll just have to go camping.
But like these are the subtleties I wish people would talk about, but I don't think they can see them.
No, because it's just purely panic. It's pretty bananas. Like people really lose themselves in that. And like there's this whole like talking about like the psychology and the manipulation and the marketing and all of that mm-hmm. stuff, like it's pretty crazy because it's the thought is like, oh, this is the thing. We always think it like mm-hmm. with TRS, it's like, okay, this is going to be the thing that makes me feel better or yep. whatever.
And it's not.
No, it's so not. It had, yeah. and I've said this in my stories. It's like, has it helped? Yeah. Like, do I have less floaties in my eye? Totally. Do I still have floaties? Yeah. Like, yep. is my period better? Yeah. Are my cramps totally gone? No, I just had a spout of them yesterday. Like,
yep.
There was quite a few months where I didn't have any cramps and that was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know, maybe because it's what I'm eating. It's a whole holistic thing. And it's yep. not just the one thing, but we just want to feel relief. So we put all of our eggs in this one item. Like, oh, once I have the air filter, once I have the water structuralization unit under yep. my sink installed in my house to, you know, to yep. bidet my ass, then...
Yep. Yep.
Then I will feel better.
Yes.
And
yes.
then I will be okay. And then I will, my pineal gland will not be calcified because my asshole is clean.
Yep. These damn flushable wipes are my problem. I need to install a bidet with structured crystalline yes. spiritual high vibe water
mm-hmm.
with a pH of 10.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And while also sun gazing with Uranus, you got to also throw that in. Well,
that's just a given. I mean, yeah. we've all been doing that for years, right?
Yeah, right. I know. Yep.
I don't know that my asshole has ever seen the light of day, to be honest. Not once. Maybe never.
I don't. Same. I've never done. Yeah.
I mean, maybe through a window, like while I'm changing, maybe I'm facing the right direction.
We have to be bent over.
Oh, then no. Then never. I don't bend over, honey. My hip flexors don't even work anymore because I don't bend over. I don't bend over for nobody.
Oh my God.
But yes, it's all the things. And you're right. And what it is, right? It's crazy to think about it this way. The way marketers think, mm-hmm. the way marketers think is that purchasing psychology is when you buy something, it's done.
Yep.
They've been marketing us things that way for so long that we actually think that way and we make decisions that way now. Mm-hmm. Like we've adapted to marketing as much as the marketing has adapted to us. So we believe the bullshit.
Yeah. Well, for this example, for the cattle, for example.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right? Let's go there.
So all the cattle drop dead, right? Or is it CGI? Is it even real? Like, can we just ask that question? Are we allowed to ask that question?
Sure. So let's talk about what it is first so that we can unpack it, because I don't know that everyone's seen it.
Oh, I just
so there's assume. A video and it says, the caption says, and then that little robotic voice comes on, right?
Oh, I saw a different or something. One.
Well, the caption anyway, what is the caption on the screen
say? The one I saw was from Arizona, but yeah. then the new one is Kansas.
Okay. So like they say this is from
a heat wave,
110 degree heat, mm-hmm. ... And it's a bunch of cows lined up in a perfect line.
They are in a perfect line.
Drop dead. And some guy with a forklift.
Yep.
So the narrative that's spun out of that is, look, there are malicious powers that are trying to overthrow the United States that's doing that from within. On top of that, the way that they're currently doing that is by killing off cattle, chickens, crops,
mm-hmm.
purposefully with no other reason than to cause food shortages.
Yep.
That's the current narrative. And the solution is go to preparewiththesecondparadigm.com uh-huh. to get your
fear,
My
fear.
Patriot supply
yeah, slash fear.
Storable foods.
We should make that link just for funsies.
Yeah, that's funny.
Guys, I would never encourage you to do that. I would teach you a canning class. We'd learn together on Zoom before... We
look, and
that.
If you have them, they're not bad. I thought about getting them. I really did. There was a point where I was like, it's convenient. It's easy.
Bucket.
It fits in a corner. And if we're in those scenarios, it makes sense to have something versus nothing as a last resort. And they're shelf stable for 30 to 50
years. And
that's
the logic that's sold with that bucket.
100%.
You unpacked the field of the bucket.
100%. But is it actually relevant? And the answer was no. And it's not something that we decided to do.
Yeah.
Instead, we got different freeze-dried storable foods. Right?
For camping.
Yeah. We'll probably eat them. But they do last. They expire in like 2050. It's pretty crazy. I was very shocked to see the expiration date. Those freeze-dried packets individually. I was like, oh, I'll write the expiration date on them because I was markering our expiration dates and everything. And I was like, 2050. I'm not even going to write anything. I'm just going to leave them. Like,
But I think the ice cream goes.
The ice cream goes in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going with this?
Cattle. So what is it? Like what?
So what is it, right? Because that's the narrative. But is that narrative actually even what the video is? I would be surprised if it was. I'd be surprised if that's actually what happened. That there was a malicious force that killed off all this cattle specifically to cause food shortages. I'd be very surprised if that's actually what the video was.
What do you think?
I think my first thought is this at some point in collecting cows for some farm or somewhere for slaughter, do they go out, shoot all their cows and line them up with a forklift and then take them to the slaughterhouse?
Mm, or like, bring them to the butcher? Is this like a 2014 video type thing? Like the,
not even is this a 2014 video. It might be new.
Mm-hmm.
But is this the literally all things. Of those cows are currently being processed for meat? Someone took a video of it. Someone then took that video that they probably didn't even take and then said, oh my God, they said it was a heat wave. Look at what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because there's a current narrative out there that truthers are looking for, which yes. is the food's being wiped out. So any video that even alludes to that, they just immediately assume it's 100% true and you need to buy storable foods immediately.
Yes. And that's what I see with the Christian pocket in the Bible. They pull all these things from Revelations to justify
yeah.
their what they're doing, to justify their fear of like, hey, you need to do this, this, and this, the mark of the beast, or whatever the fuck the thing is.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's crazy. I'm like, what?
You need to prepare because man can't rule himself and everything is hopeless until Armageddon when Jesus comes back to save everybody because you can't do anything about it. So buy my storable food in the meantime? That's a weird mm-hmm. thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a weird logic yeah. in the first place?
Yes. When you put it like that. Yeah.
But these are the things that I think people either don't think through or can't think through because of the psychology and the way that it drives.
Well, it drums up so much fear and you're like, fuck, yes. I feel behind. I should probably get, yeah, yes. look what happened to the cattle. I should definitely get my bucket.
Yes.
Like, it's better than not having anything. Like, at least I'll have a bucket. Like, I can't afford to get a freezer right now. Like, that's, you know, that's yep. not going to happen. So
what's the percentage of people that actually know what farm, what state, and what actually happened in that video?
Yeah. And why are there two conflicting states? Like, that's weird to me.
Yes, because there's something on top of whatever that video was that is the current truther narrative. It's the alternative media narrative.
I would love to fuck some shit up and like seriously hire a guy to be the one that was mm-hmm. that comes clean and he's like, yep, so I work in IT and I just thought it would be funny, you know, it's probably a bad joke, but this is a CGI video. I made it myself in my basement last night. Just want to let you guys know, nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be because it would just like fucks up the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even need to be CGI is the thing. Like, you can take a video in a slaughterhouse of cows going across a thing and going, all of these cows aren't going to be sent out because someone just got a notice saying that they need to all be thrown in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You could just say that.
Yeah.
And people go, oh my fucking God, I can't yep. believe that.
Yep.
And it's not even true. It's just a video of a slaughterhouse of cows going yep. by on the hooks.
Yep.
And
yep.
you could just say that. That, I know. And that's a similar thing to what I feel with this video.
That's what
and it's
was
not
crazy.
That something malicious isn't going on. It's that I don't think it's as crazy as people are saying.
Right.
And I certainly don't think the solution is buy storable foods, cross your fingers and wait for Jesus.
Right. Yeah. I know. It was telling to do like Paradise Valley and like create that show and do the news segment that we did and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's like, oh, you can really craft a narrative. Like, you can yeah. really make shit up and people believe it. Like, it's really fucking sad.
Yeah. That's the first time I let that side of me out, I think.
Yeah. You were scarily good at it.
Yeah. Actually, now that you bring it up, that is definitely the first time I let that side out.
I was like,
oh, it came God. Out a little bit in marketing, a little bit. But I didn't go all the way.
Yeah.
I didn't like fully engage with it because I couldn't. Like, I had a moral line that I couldn't cross and I couldn't bring myself to cross it even though I wanted to cross it.
Yeah.
I was trying to convince myself that atheism was the path for me. Watching Richard Dawkins like crazy, like, haha, these Bible people are so fucking stupid. And I was trying to push myself past a moral line that I couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating because I could see the dollar signs literally right on the other side of that moral line
yeah.
and I couldn't cross it. But something about doing it for Paradise Valley when we were making FNN, the fake news network, and yeah. we were doing these broadcasts and stuff, and they were just like, it's just silly, you know? It was just fun. But it's like, oh, I can play full out here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
And it still feels like there's more, you know? Oh, like if I sat down and wanted to really fucking make it a thing, and it wasn't like, okay, we're going to produce these as a fun thing before we do this sitcom, just 6 weeks of it. And I wrote them all in a day.
Yeah.
In one day, one sitting. I tweaked some things afterwards. But like, that's me playing full out for one day. Like if I took those and then it was actually going out to like hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and I was able to play there, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
But recently, I mean, even I've been thinking about it even more. Like there's that psychology feels like it's unlocked in me since then. And I'm able to see things like this much more clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Because we talk about it all the time. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, we could just do this and this and this and this and this and this, and then it would do this to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, fuck. There's a piece of it that's like a little bit scary, but I trust myself enough to be able to go there and explore it and know that it's not enticing in the slightest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's the thing that finally unlocked it, you know, is like having the trust in myself to know that I'm going to stay true to myself and stay true to this path, regardless of any degree of money, any degree of fame, any degree of status. Like there's really nothing that can compel me to do anything outside of what I'm getting directly from divinity.
Yep.
So now it's like, let's just look at it all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. That's kind of a cool segue into playing out timelines too. Cause like people like they'll get like all stiff about shit and not want to play timelines out. Cause they're afraid they're going to manifest it. And like sure. I've said, ho bag, if you're really good at black magic, could you do a little better? Because this shit is bananas right now in 2020 plus. You ain't manifesting.
My favorite new line is call in Satan, it'll work better.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. I'm holding on to that little sentence. Like maybe there'll be a day where I'll comment it on someone's thing or something.
Cool.
You know, it's just this little sentence. I want to say it somewhere, but there's nowhere for me to say it yet.
It wasn't that exactly, but I commented, which I rarely do again, you know, only when it's here, but I commented on this girl's post. She was talking about manifestation and she's more in the God, reads the Bible every day girl. But she was talking about manifestation and I was like, yeah, just watered down Satanism.
Yeah.
Not even good. So that's as close as I got, but I know you will use that line. It'll be helpful. It'll scramble some brains.
Yeah.
But I don't even know where I was going. Oh, playing out timelines. People don't want to do it because they're afraid they're going to create it. But like every time, like even when I, like this is the FEMA camp timeline, I'm telling you, I write a best-selling book after. I know I do. I see it. It's fucking clear as day.
Yeah.
But like people don't even want to go there. Like it's just weird to me. It's like this isn't even real. Like you're still sitting where you're sitting. Your external circumstances haven't changed. It's okay for you to peer down a motherfucking timeline. Like what the fuck? People like freeze and they won't do it. And I've even had people that I was working with in the past. I was like, just play it out. Where does it go? And it like, it goes right back to like, yeah, I made the right decision.
Yep.
I'm glad I left that relationship. I'm glad I didn't move. I'm glad I didn't take that job, or I'm glad I did take that job. Whatever like the thing is, it ends up looping you right exactly back to where you are now. And you're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. It's really good you brought it here because this is the solution. This is the actual solution. 100%.
To the solution to
100%. This is the alternative solution to buy storable food now and going to do it to relieve that tension.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just I'm trying to find a way to weave it through. So like when we're presented with a scary thing, that scary thing is not fucking real.
Right.
Like it's important to understand these timelines aren't even fucking real. 99.5% of the times, they're not real.
Right.
They're never going to happen. They're never going to happen. The reason why we're playing them out is because divinity is trying to press itself. Not from going to FEMA and almost dying. I really don't think that's going to happen. It's possible, but I don't fucking feel that anywhere in the actual timelines.
Okay.
Maybe 1%.
Okay, perfect. There's still a chance.
And even less. Maybe like 1 in 1,000, 0.1. I just don't think things are going to get that catastrophic. Not when I actually feel into things. But that aside, like there is this pocket of our psychology that is currently being manipulated by external forces.
Yes.
When that pocket of our psychology is being manipulated by external forces, the way that it's being manipulated is by creating a future reality that's not real that we need to make decisions on.
Yep.
That's how, if we think about the prefrontal cortex as human beings being the greatest evolutionary fucking thing in history and all of that, right? That whole narrative, the difference between us and the animal kingdom is that we have the ability to peer into the future and make decisions on that. And what that allows us to do is like build shit. Like we can build a house because we can see what we're going to do before we do it so we know it works. And once we do it, we can see what we did, build it even better because we can see what we could do in the future to make that thing even better than what we did last time. Right? We have this cognitive...
Do birds do that with their
nests? No. There's no prefrontal cortex. That is the role of the prefrontal cortex. I have a very different perspective on what a brain actually is than all of this. I don't believe any of this. Half of me believes this still, certainly, because I know it all and it feels very good to know the fucking things. But I don't actually think this is the way the brain works. But this is the way that people think of things. Okay. And this is the consensus way of looking at psychology and neurology. We have a prefrontal cortex, the animal kingdom doesn't. That lets us plan into the future. If we just take that idea and pull it out, just that, the way we're being manipulated is through that prefrontal cortex. Yes. Because we are imagining a future and we're making decisions in the present based on that imagined future. Right. So animals don't prepare for retirement. Right. When things start to get cold, they have a trigger to store a bunch of their food. Mm-hmm. But they're not thinking, I'm going to need all of this food, so I need to make sure that I put it here and specifically put it in a place where humans aren't going to come and dig it up. Like, they're not thinking like that.
Right.
It's just time to store. And it's like this impulse. Mm-hmm. Humans go, I need to store all of this and it needs to make sense for the future that's coming. And maybe this winter is going to be worse based on the recent weather forecast. So I actually need to store a little bit more. The animals don't do that as far as I understand. The way that we're manipulated is by taking that future reality and going, you're wrong. It's mm-hmm. actually going to be like this. Mm-hmm. And the minute you change someone's future imagination of what's going to happen, you alter their actions in the present moment. Yep. So if you can instill fear, what you're actually doing by instilling fear is handing them a new future reality.
Yep.
You're imagining them a new future. And because their imagined future changes in that moment, if you can make them feel as though their future imagination is deficient, like mm-hmm. they're stupid and they're not smart enough, they don't know enough about what's happening,
yep.
they're not educated enough, they're not informed enough.
Yep.
If you can instill that, then you can say, what you think is going to happen is wrong. What I think is going to happen is right. And if you can change that in a moment, their current plans for the future have to change.
Yep.
In an instant. That's what all that tension is.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I thought I was going to be safe into the future, but actually, I'm not going to be able to go to the grocery store and get meat. What the fuck am I going to do?
Yep.
If you don't play out that timeline, you're going to just take the solution that they gave
yes.
you.
Yes.
But if you play out that timeline, then you go, I get my meat from the fucking farm anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tyson can run out of meat tomorrow.
Yep.
And the farm down the street is still going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I don't know the farm down the street yet, there's going to be a farm down the street. And I'll still be able to find it.
Yep.
It's like when you really play out those catastrophic timelines, even if the future thing that they're saying is true, which most of the time it's not,
yep.
you're still okay. And if you can play it out all the way, you are free from that future imagination that was being used to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, I think, what all of these...
Yep.
That's like what the real work is. And I think that's what divinity is trying to do in our psychology
yep.
is to liberate ourselves from the manipulative mechanisms of 100%. The collective field of darkness, of marketing.
Yep. Because it's like cash. It's like there's never enough. Like,
yep.
you know, the people that work all their lives and then, once they hit this age or this yep. amount of number, then they'll retire.
Yep.
And then they hit that number and it's still not enough and they keep going. And it's like, wait, I thought you were going to retire when you hit that number. And yeah. it's like, oh yeah, no, no, no. But then I couldn't have the, you know, this life if I retired now and I still blah, blah, blah. Even if they could, there's like all this justification. And the same thing happens with supplements and prepping and health and all of this stuff. It's the same. It's like, oh, there's never enough. Oh, we need a bigger freezer.
Uh-huh. 100%.
But it's just not, it's not accurate. And I just keep thinking back to like, if you were to literally snap your fingers and shit were to hit the fan right now,
mm-hmm.
like you have to trust that right now in this exact moment, in these exact circumstances, because you've been following divinity this whole fucking time, hopefully. And if you haven't, you better fucking get on board because you're going to be fucked. That's where I think people are going to be fucked. Those that do not listen to their intuition, to their direct access to 100%. God, those are the ones that are fucked.
Yep.
Not me.
Yep.
So I can say that with confidence. It just feels true. It's like at this point. So at this point, you've already listened to your intuition this entire time. So snap your fingers. Shit hits the fan right the fuck now. Podcast air goes dead.
Yep.
Fucking missiles flying over. You're still good.
Yeah.
You're going to know how to navigate that.
Yeah.
Like we've got to know that. And I don't know how to get people to know that.
Yeah.
Other than through this work and through time. It's through your own unique experiences of trusting yourself.
Yep.
And watching yourself not trust yourself. And then what happens there? And it's like this whole trial and error thing, but it's a slow process through time.
Yep. Yeah, it's been fun talking to your childhood friend. She's been coming over a lot. And it's been fun translating
30 years of friendship. And I'm only 25.
Yeah. It's been fun translating the second paradigm into psychological terms because she's been in the therapy world for like 12 years. That's even after she got her master's in psychology.
Yeah.
It's been fun, but there's one thing that I can't translate, and that's soul is actually real.
Yeah.
And when you trust your intuition, things always work out.
Yeah.
Not because chance,
mm-mm.
Not because you're happy to suffer, because you did what you actually wanted to do versus what other people were telling you to. It's not just a fulfillment thing. It's not a hack to our biology.
Yep.
When we think we're going to run out of money and die and everything's going to implode, and we actually go there, like not just in the timelines, but in physical experience, and we still trust ourselves anyway, mm-hmm. things work out in ways that they logically cannot work out.
Yep.
That's the only piece that I can't translate to psychology. It's the only piece. Yeah. And it's arguably the most important piece.
Yeah. And I insert it wherever I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm so aggressive with God. I'm like, God's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that feeling that you're feeling right now, that's God.
And something that really helped me recognize that it's real to the world, not just real to me, I guess. It's not even completely true, but just something that really drove home the point for me was Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Yeah.
And Gulag Archipelago.
I'm thinking about him a lot today.
Yeah. I should find that passage. It's a long fucking book. I don't even know how to find it. I just have to like reread it. But he's back for the second time.
Wait, do you want to take a pause and look for it and read
No, because it would be long to even read it.
We love when you read to us.
I know, but like 2 hours. Like I'd have to like read the whole fucking part. So I'm summarizing it because it's easier to summarize it than
David,
not.
In the audiobook read but, by yeah, David Rostowski. Right.
So he gets captured and then he escapes or he gets let go. And then he gets captured again. So he's back in for the second time and then he's in prison. And he gets tortured for a very long period of time. And that's standard. So everyone gets tortured. They get their balls whipped. They have to stand in like an upright coffin. And if they fall asleep, they get beat. So they have to get really good at like pretending that they're awake while sleeping with their eyes open, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like resting their knees against the like basically upright coffin. It's a very small space, so you can't stand up or lay down or sit. Because I think it's also shorter than you are tall. So you're in this kind of position, right? Just very uncomfortable. And you have to learn to pretend that you're awake while you're sleeping. So that's, they sleep kind of with their eyes open. So you go through this ridiculous torture and then you get put into a cell with a bunch of other people who've just been tortured. And he was like, that is the kind, it's a kind of kinship that's really hard to explain because you've all just been through something together. Yeah. But there, it's not just all the people that have been tortured. It's also plants. So there's people in there who are also working for the Soviet
plants.
Union.
I was thinking garden.
No, not garden plants. Not the good plants. There are like spies.
I see.
It was cool hearing him talk about it because he's like, I always knew who I could trust and who I couldn't with pieces of information. And he's like, I was never wrong. And he's like, someone should really look into this thing. We've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but someone should really look into this thing, the science behind it,
mm-hmm.
because there's something here with this. For me, that only further validates, it's a someone's lived experience.
Yep.
Like this isn't hypothetically, you'd still have your intuition in the future. It's like, no, people have. This is how people have gotten through this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who did get through this and did write a best-selling book that arguably brought down the Soviet Union. It was the thing that proved to the West that the Soviet Union wasn't actually better, that communism wasn't better than capitalism, because all of the intellectuals in the West were like, hey, they got this thing over here and it's so much fucking better than what we have. And then Alexander, he goes, here's our actual experience. And they go, holy shit. Okay, actually, we're socialists, not communists now. They pivoted and they pulled back. And they were like, we don't mean that. We mean we would do it better. Has been their stance mm-hmm. ever since. Mm-hmm. And it's still the stance today.
Yep.
But like, these are those timelines. Someone's lived them. And that was that exact same thing happened.
Yes.
It's important to be able to understand that intuition is real, that intuition is true, that intuition is valid. And to validate through our actual experience, because that is how we navigate those things.
Yep.
It's 100% how we navigate those things.
Yes.
So when I play out the timelines, I think this would be fun to do actually, is play out some of the scary timelines and just talk them through a little bit.
Cool.
So let's say no grocery store within 200 miles has meat. Mm-hmm. What do?
We don't eat meat. We get our protein from beans.
Yeah.
Eggs.
Yeah. I think we would still go to the farm.
Yeah.
And then
200 miles is actually pretty good radius.
What?
Oh, there's just a ton of farms.
Yeah.
Within 200 miles.
Yep. So if all the grocery stores go down, I think we would go to the local farmers.
Yeah.
And then we would talk to them and we'd be like, so it's pretty fucking crazy. And they'd be like, yeah, well, we still have meat
mm-hmm.
because we have cows that are right here that you've been looking at while you eat ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's...
My first thought is we go without.
Yeah. I mean, but even there, it's like we go without or we find another way.
But we're not going to eat...
Alternative pathways.
Kim Kardashian's...
Beyond meat.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're really creative in those spaces.
Yep.
And we're so, like, I think that's why all of this is kind of like eerily familiar. Like the Anne Frank era is like very familiar. It feels familiar when I read it, when I read it in school. Like it all it's like, oh, we've done this. We know this, whether it was like us or however past lives work or whatever that fucking thing is. But like, there's this, like, there is already an established innate connection here that isn't hijacked, that is pure.
Yeah.
And that's our own connection. And like, we'll just, and it's moment by moment, but it's still not catastrophic. Like, I think food prices will go up,
mm-hmm.
but that's probably about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll be families that struggle. There'll be poorer families that will be desperate to do anything and they'll probably get swooped right up into the system. Like there's still going to be an upper class. There's still going to be a middle class. There's still going to be a lower class. Like
mm-hmm.
it's still going to be the way, like nothing's really changed. Like our awareness 2020 plus, but 2020 specifically, a lot of us popped and we're like, mm-hmm. whoa, okay, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
But like, none of this is new. Our awareness is relatively new, but that feeling inside that always felt like things were off. Like, why, as I'm having this spiritual awakening, why am I still hanging out with my college friends and I can't seem to talk about what I'm going through and they're all worried about what to bring to the summer barbecue. Yeah. Why can't I worry about what to bring to the summer barbecue? Why am I thinking about like off-planet intelligence? Mm-hmm. Like what, why am I in the car ride home interfacing with that off-planet intelligence while I'm driving? Mm-hmm. Like what the fuck? And why can't I tell anybody about it?
Yeah.
And like, why am I nannying for this family? Like this doesn't fit the person I was that I went to call when I went to college with these folks. FOLX. When I went to college with these people, this is not the trajectory. But like here I am. Like this is fucking weird. And then 2020 hit and it's like, oh, it all makes sense. Cause it was like, why can't I do what they're doing? Why can't I do the marriage and the babies and the white picket fence and the house and 30-year mortgage? Like, why is that is so not my path? Like, why is that not my path right now? But it is everyone around me. What the fuck? And then 2020 hits and I'm like, oh, okay. And it's like, oh, even prior to 2020, second paradigm, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now it all makes sense. Like all of it. There is no doubt in my mind of what we're doing and how big this company will actually be and the impact that we'll actually have here.
Yeah.
There is no fucking doubt anymore. There's no insecurity. There's no like, oh, but like, well, I wish I could do this. Like, I don't fucking want any of their goddamn lives. No fucking thank you. This is it. Like, mm-hmm. having traveled to all of these places, lived in all of these places, had my bank account go to zero, to negative, to mm-hmm. all this fuckity fuck, been in narcissistic relationships with fucking psychopaths. Like, yep. like bring it on. Like, I feel like I lived a fucking 1,000 lives and, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And, like, they're the same. They're still going to happy hour now with their fucking kids in tow. Like, yeah. no fucking thank you.
Yeah.
Still going to like the college football homecoming thing. No fucking thank you.
So wait, you were saying that that nothing's changed.
Yes, same. So nothing, like it's nothing's new. All of this stuff, like the Spanish flu and like, it's yeah. just, it's all the same fucking thing. We've been living under one world government. We've been living in this tyrannical dome, satanic planet for generations.
Yeah.
We just aren't tricked anymore. We're not enticed by money. Money doesn't rule us. We don't do things for money. Like that, the oldest job, right? Prostitution? Mm-hmm. Fucking doing things for money? Like, no. Shut the fuck up. You will be taken care of. You don't need to be sucking fucking dicks. Come on. But there's still people today that are sucking fucking dicks for dollars. Like, where is God in that? Where is your intuitive connection in that? Is that really what you're being guided to do? Are you even checking in? Like, but they're not, I mean, I don't know, maybe God's rooting them on. I don't fucking know. I don't know. It's not my thing. But like, there will always, like, there's some sort of organization to this. Like, it's not like there's this spiritual awakening and there's this ascension process and we all ascend into 5D rainbow light bodies and da 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 or whatever the fucking thing, whatever people think. I don't even know what people think. But there's like an organization to the fact that there's all these different types of people, where people are at.
100%.
Like, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And like, there will be people that will never wake up from this, and that's okay.
100%.
It's just part of it.
It's part of this chapter in history.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. I mean, it's weird to dedicate your entire life to phenomenological experiences that culture thinks are not real or are like parlor tricks or yeah. like a fun little hobby at best, and to not assume that people currently in this lifetime are never going to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like to expect that the world is going to suddenly spontaneously awaken and every single person on the planet is going to be as spiritual as you are is wrong.
It's not even the point.
It's not the point. It's not their point. Because as of now, the cutting edge, what we call the cutting edge, those who acknowledge intuition as true and valid, are pushing biological capabilities. That's what we're doing. We're building new hardware.
Yep.
And we're building and we're downloading new software into that hardware.
Yep.
Like we're pressing our hardware limitations. Our biology is too manipulatable to run on Intuition OS as a species. Too manipulatable, too wide the fuck open,
obviously.
Too intermeshed into the collective consciousness, collective field that's hijacked to run on soul.
Yep.
Like if I go back 6 years ago, my body was incapable of living in this life that we're in now.
Oh,
completely 100% incapable. But now it is capable.
Yeah. And wasn't there, at least for me, it was like this feeling that it existed.
100%.
Like
100%.
That's what I was after. Cause every time I would do those, like, you know, when you like write out your dream life or whatever, I always sucked at it, especially when I left my like corporate gig. Cause I was like, wait, but I like my life now. Like this is already good. Like, I don't know, maybe I'd do yoga twice today. Like it was like, I don't know, I'd go to my job at the coffee shop and then go to yoga after, like, but they were like, yeah, but what's your dream life? I was like, I don't know, I'm already living in it, I think. Like, I don't know, I hope it's just going to continue to get better. Like, and it's just funny because that's exactly what's happened. It's just been this slow evolution through time, through trusting my intuition, through quitting various jobs and doing the next thing that was here, no matter how uncomfortable it was, we still took the leap. We still listened. But like, it's gotten to this point now where like, we're already there. Like there's nothing wrong. There's nothing we need to tweak. We don't need to blow up our lives in order to reach some other place. Like we're not living these out of alignment lives and doing this like unnecessary bullshit and placating to societal demands. Like we've broken free from that, and that's possible. The fact that that's even possible is huge because that is not what I see out there, because all of these people that are touting storable foods, they're not free from this.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, yeah, I think this is where it's driving to, is like, you're right. Everything is the same. Like we've been under control of a consolidated hierarchy of darkness for a very long time.
Oh,
certainly longer than any of us have been alive. Yes. Certainly yes. Longer than any of our parents or grandparents have been alive.
I know. I even think of my grandpa who fought in the war. He didn't know that both sides were funded by the same fucking family.
Yeah.
He was just fighting for the freedom of the United States.
Yeah. And that knowledge would have been shattering.
He probably would have had a heart attack and died and not lived to 98. Seriously, that shit would fuck. That's so unbelievable. It doesn't even make any sense.
Grandpa lived to 98.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
Really?
My grandpa lived into his 90s too.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, we got good genes.
He's not blood. My other ones died.
Oh.
The real ones died. That's Grandpa Bean. He's not even blood.
That's funny. That's true.
He's through marriage.
That's really funny.
But he does come in a lot.
Oh,
actually.
We got good genes.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, no, not me.
I have terrible. If we go by strictly genes, everyone's dead.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my family on both sides are kind of crazy. So that's all right. We'll be fine. Our genetics are fantastic.
Can edit your genes.
Yeah. Yeah. CRISPR.
Nothing's new.
Nothing's new except for this.
Right.
That's the thing here that I think we're squiggling around this line. And I think the through line through this conversation is nothing's really new here except for this. Even if we go full Great Reset, there is a president of the world and there is a council of darkness that exists and informs that president of the world on geopolitics, and we all live under the exact same consolidated, no border tyrannical government.
It's already here.
That structure, yes. Essentially already exists. It just exists in a very covert manner.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we have borders with Mexico and Canada. Yeah. There's borders.
Yes.
And then behind the scenes, like Biden's sucking off Trudeau. You know, it's like they're all fucking in cahoots. There are no actual borders. Like we're already like it's an imaginary story to get the people to believe that there are. And then like, oh, we'll even insert border patrol and make it like there are borders.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to explain this. There's just this made up fantasy There's like a made up tale around this whole thing because yes. we are already under one government control. And I think that needs to be acknowledged. And we have been for a very long time. Like, this is the piece, again, that isn't new.
Yes. Yes. So while people are worried about great resetting to have the, to have an out in the open version of what we already have.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Right. While people are worrying about that and stocking up for that reality, it's like, listen, we're already in that. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think that everyone starving to death is the actual end goal. I really don't. I don't think this place is meant to be terrible because that proves from darkness, it proves nothing. It proves that they are incapable leaders. It proves that they can't rule themselves. It proves that they as a hierarchy are dog shit. It proves that God does better. It proves everything that they don't want to prove.
Yeah. They need the buy-in.
Yeah. And we've talked about this, maybe not on the podcast, but we've talked about this in other settings. Darkness wants Earth as a trophy.
Yep.
That's I truly believe the end goal is to have a version of utopia that's cognitively convincing and that has the buy-in from everyone on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we're currently in that. And I think the Great Reset is a contrast piece to make us feel grateful for the system that we're under, which is already the exact same thing, just not out in the open.
Yes.
I think we are being psychologically primed to be grateful to be under the thing that we're pretending that we're not going to be under.
Yep.
We're grateful to be deceived.
Yep.
Because if it was out in the open, we'd freak the fuck out.
Yep. 100%. It's like slow play on slow play on slow play.
Yep. Yep.
There's no doubt.
But so all of that, right? All of that sits as the foundation of this conversation of like, nothing's really changed for a very long time. There's a technology of darkness to manipulate biology. And even trickled down into the average person, we are manipulating each other using the exact same tactics.
Yep.
Our psychology is built around marketing, and you have people who are self-proclaimed truthers and warriors of light and truth that are manipulating people into fear so that they can make money to prepare for their own eventual demise.
Yep.
Like, that is pretty fucking gnarly.
Yep.
That's where we're at. Now, there's a pocket of people on this planet that we call the cutting edge, you listening here now, that acknowledges intuition is valid and true. We are pushing the biological capabilities of our species to be able to interface with divinity without being taken out by the machine that is the latest technological advancement of darkness to control and manipulate and to play God. Darkness wants to take us to their own version of something that looks like utopia where they can write God out.
Yep.
What we're doing here is we're saying, no, 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 no. I feel hollow. I don't like this. I don't care if we go to robots and everything's Uber delivered by drones and I never have to do anything again. And I watch the most entertaining, most stimulating in every single way. My like massage chair jacks me off 12 hours a day. Like I have food, just like the, not even food. I have an IV that goes in that takes care of all my nutritional values. And whenever I want, I can taste digitally anything, the best meals ever created by man. I don't care if that's possible because I still feel hollow inside because I'm missing something. Yeah. I think that's what all of us did.
Yep.
We looked at where this was going and we said, I don't want that even though it sounds nice because I feel dead inside because in order to do that, I have to give up my soul and I can't.
Yep.
I can't just shove this down. So instead, we developed it wholeheartedly. We devoted our entire lives to divinity, to light, and to the pursuit of that light in a spiritual landscape that's mostly black magic and darkness, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through straight into the fucking pits of false light that taught us words that helped us to describe our experience while we were being psychically attacked for a year to 2 years, at least for most of us.
Yeah.
Just constant, relentless psychic attack under the false pretense of you're healing your trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's new, right? Was the trauma always there? Why do I suddenly feel like dog shit ever since I got in this program? Mm-hmm. Why do I suddenly feel as though my life is terrible and spinning into chaos? Whereas before, when I was completely asleep, I felt significantly better. That's because that's constant psychic attack by darkness because you're working with black magic, right?
But we don't talk about that.
But we don't talk about that. That's where we learned this shit.
Yeah.
Then we kept going relentlessly, still searching for light and truth and divinity until we differentiated ourselves out from lots of that and went, oh, I just don't need to do the black magic piece. I can actually be light. We kept going and then we developed a real-time personal connection with divinity. Like, that's new here. Yep. That hasn't happened here. Everything's been the exact fucking same for a really long time. We can kid ourselves into thinking that life is different because of the internet, and it is in some ways. But the control mechanisms are the exact same fucking same. Probably worse because of the internet.
Yeah, agreed. It's way easier to trick masses of people.
It is way easier.
Uh-huh. That's what was so gnarly. I mean, this is obviously TV too, because I guess this could have happened without the internet. But when COVID first hit, I remember going for a walk and being out in nature. And I was like, nothing's wrong. Like, the plants are thriving. Like, everything's in bloom. Like, what the fuck? Like, if I didn't have the shiny rectangle, I wouldn't know. Nobody's dropping dead. The plants aren't dead. Like, it didn't track.
Yeah.
It was like a huge, like, wait a second. Something's not right.
Yep. You know, I don't know that I've thought about it in this way before, but the reason why all those timelines break when you go down them is because those timelines aren't actually meant to take you out.
Yeah, you always end up learning something cool.
Yes.
That's helpful and relevant now.
100%. But those timelines aren't meant to take you out. I mean, from the dark perspective, those... Oh. You do end up learning. When you go through them, divinity uses every circumstance for light. Yep. So that kind of isn't the best for them.
Right.
But those timelines are meant to get our buy-in.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping you'd ask that.
So, well, I wasn't sure if it made sense just on the surface. So the actual... intention of darkness on this planet. We have to do a topic talk and just hash this out further.
Okay.
We really do.
Okay, let's
But
start.
I'll do it a little bit.
Okay. Ooh, getting a teaser, guys.
The actual intention of darkness on this planet is to create a utopia without God.
Right.
That utopia without God requires full buy-in from every person on the planet.
Yes.
If that's the end goal, come all the way back. What's happening now? What's happening now is we have visions of a dystopia.
Mm-hmm.
What do those visions do? They compel us to fall back in line.
Yep.
They compel us to sell our soul and to get on board, make just enough money to survive. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be taken care of by divinity. I'm not going to be taken care of by this soul thing. My intuition is not going to fucking work. The black magic wasn't even working. So what is this, light magic? I mean, the black magic's the fucking good stuff. Look at all the celebrities, right? There's this really kind of hazy patch over cognitively that makes it seem as though we will never proceed in life unless we fall back in line and we do exactly what our soul is telling us will lead to a hollow, meaningless existence. So make a shit ton of money, go fuck a bunch of people, get your body feeling as good as possible about being out of alignment. So focus on your pleasures and desires being fulfilled in the short term to give yourself the biological hack you need to be able to go out of alignment in the long term. Right? That's really what that life is. So if you make enough out of alignment decisions, but you get your dick sucked once a day, you'll be fine. If you wake up every single morning at 5 a.m. and go for a run and then make a smoothie, then you can go work out of alignment for 8 hours, come back and still feel okay. Because you generated enough energy in the morning to be able to get through that workload. So do things that make your body feel good enough to justify being out of alignment. That's kind of like the personal technology of living in darkness that we've all kind of adapted to and learned over the years. We're so adaptable as a species and we can deal with so much hardship. And that's kind of what's happening. Mm-hmm. We're tricking our body into feeling as though it's okay.
Yeah, that's encouraged and kind of, it's bred here.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I would argue that's what most of the psychological frameworks are developed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is to give us those coping mechanisms to be able to deal with the out of alignment decisions we're making that go against our soul. But all of these fears and all these things that are being sold to us, I really think are driving toward that single utopia because darkness doesn't want to destroy us. It wants to get us on board.
Right.
Darkness doesn't want to kill us all off. That does nothing.
Yeah.
That there's no wins there.
From the perspective of having Earth as a trophy planet.
Yes.
Yeah,
they need our buy-in.
And it needs to like look good. And like, yep. It's like when you put your house up for sale and like you paint it, make it look all nice and bake cookies and have the smell. And you're like,
yes,
but the foundation's rotting.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, we don't talk about that.
Yep. Yeah. All of our fears are the realtor saying in that exact same metaphor, or the realtor going, oh, you know, the house prices are going up quite a bit. We got 7 or 8 offers on this house already. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want it, if you really like it, just let me know. And I mean, I like you guys. I can try to put something through.
Yeah.
That's that.
Uh-huh.
It's not meant to take you out. It's not meant to push you away.
Right.
It's meant to get your buy-in.
You probably want to go a little bit over asking price because you're more likely to get it.
Because then my percentage will be a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And you'll outbid BlackRock.
Yeah. Yep. It's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I haven't completely thought about it like that before. I haven't connected those pieces before, but it feels important when we're talking about all these dystopian timelines, because that's where you hit when you play it out. You go, oh, the worst possible things happen and divinity still uses it for my benefit.
Yep.
I'm extremely uncomfortable, but in the end, my faith in myself and in the organizational intelligence of divinity is rock solid to the point of never being shaken up again. I've lived experience of surviving things that I shouldn't have survived. That's the actual end goal. It's like, okay. Well, I guess I'm ready for that.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, this probably is a topic talk, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel the whole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I know. We could hash it out for hours and hours and hours and hours. It's what darkness actually wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's where this is actually going, because this is all of the, there's a shit ton. There's a shit ton here. But I think for the sake of this conversation, the through line here is nothing has changed here. The structure of darkness on this planet, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. Nothing is really changing in the next 10 years or so outside of things becoming more obvious to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the way through it is by recognizing that you are the 0.01% of the population that has actually valued intuition to the point of trusting it.
Yeah.
If you've done that to any degree, even once, you're the cutting edge. If you value your intuition.
Which I think is really generous.
I thought so too. I really did. When that came through, they were like, if your direct access is the cutting edge, like you acknowledge your intuition, but still can't fully trust it. And you watch yourself make out of alignment decisions and you watch your life go to crap until you realize that, oh, this thing is really trustworthy. So I'm going to actually test it the other way now and give it a try. Like that's still the cutting edge.
Generous.
I also felt so, but when I zoom out, it's not generous. It's and 0.1% of the population is generous. Saying 1 in 1,000 people are doing that, bullshit. Not even close. Hmm. Not even close. So that's why it's the cutting edge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it is. We did our spiritual SATs and we came back across every single thing in the 99th percentile.
Yeah.
You know, like we're all fucking Rhodes scholars in divinity. We really, really, really push the edges. We shouldn't be able to do this in this era. We should not have the capabilities we do in this era. It is biologically impossible for our species right now to do what we're doing.
That's why a lot of people aren't.
100%. It's not because they're stupid. It's not because there's anything wrong with them. They are a person in their time. You know what I mean?
Mm. Oh, like that's a good way to put it. Because I always want to lump them in stupid fucking 100%, idiot.
100%. Because the world that we imagine ourselves living in, where everyone believes and understands the things that we are doing, takes 300 to 500 years.
Yeah.
So like then what, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like what does that mean about us? Well, it means we got here first. What does that mean about everyone? Nothing. Neutral.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. They're under the control mechanism that is standard here. This is why we came here in the first place, was to do this.
Right.
And I think this is why all those other people came here too, but they're still stuck within their own biological prisons,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're trying to navigate their way out. And I think we look back even to like, when I look back to like my grandparents and my mom and my dad and the way that they navigated their life and the decisions they made. And I mean, just brutal decisions they made. They were trying to escape their biological prisons. I mean, there was this event with my grandma and her first two children, which my dad didn't even know about, that he was the fourth or the third child, and then his sister was the fourth. He thought he was the first child and his sister was the second. There were two kids before that. And she tried to commit suicide and the kids died and she didn't. Like, that's my grandparents. You know, that's where things were at. And what is that? It's trying to escape the biological prison. Like, this is too fucking hard. I don't want me or my kids to live in this world. It's too fucking crazy here. It's too fucking dark. Like, the walls are caving in and this feels as though it's the only option.
Yeah.
I mean, to bring the kids in too, it's not just like,
right.
It's not just, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
It's like, we can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like the psychology behind that's like, holy fucking shit. But that's where she was able to rationalize a path out.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, you know, like when I look back at previous generations and my dad joined the army because he didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it tracks and it makes sense with where our bodies are and the experience that like we've experienced too. We were just as fucking stuck.
Yeah.
And to get unstuck, it was brutal as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We had to leap into the unknown, certain financial uncertainty, certain.
Yeah.
Like, it was certain that we would have no fucking idea how we were going to make money and that we would probably run out and then go into debt. Like, it was certain at some of those beginning moments. Like, I'm absolutely going the wrong way, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you, zero reasons. My girlfriend at the time, right before I left Tucson, I was at like a men's retreat or something. They were talking about fucking calling people or something. And you know, it's one of the things. So yeah.
Were you like,
yep.
It was a landmark. Yep.
Yeah. It was kind of like one of those things. And so I called my girlfriend that I left in Tucson to move to San Diego. Like, I need to pursue entrepreneurship. And I remember I told her this like metaphor of like, I feel like we're in like a mall and I need to like leave and, you know, and like, I have to go and you can't.
That's the metaphor.
Yeah, it was just shit. My metaphors weren't as good back then.
They're so much better.
But
now.
It was very sad. This is very sad. We were like both crying because she understood but didn't, and I understood but didn't.
Mm-mm.
But anyway, so I left and I broke up with her, and I moved to San Diego. And then later, like a year later or something, I called her and she was like, "I was literally thinking about starting to date again, like yesterday. Like, this sucks." And she said, because I was saying something about like, yeah, you know, things are going okay. My girlfriend's kind of crazy, which she was. It's like she was pretty fucking crazy in San Diego because I was destabilized and just, you know, all the things. I was like, yeah, my girlfriend's kind of crazy and just kind of dissatisfied with my life or something. And she's like, David, you know, the thing that's wrong with you is you will never be happy with your life. And I was like, fuck. I was like, okay, well, it's good talking to you.
I gotta go.
Yeah, you know, I'm at this retreat. Yeah, I gotta go. Okay, bye. It stuck with me for the longest time because it felt like that. It really did. And I think that's the only way that she could rationalize it. And it stuck enough because it was a better explanation than the one that I had.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I had was like, I'm just doing this because I have to. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And her explanation was like, well, because you have a fucking problem. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you left behind a good thing to go to another shitty thing. And you're still dissatisfied, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's what we all had to press through, was some iteration of that, of the people around us thinking we were stupid for making the decisions we were, that we were responsible for making the decisions we were, and we didn't have a reason ourselves. Then on top of that, we had to go into a spiritual landscape that was mostly dark and deal with relentless psychic attack until we could figure it out.
Yeah.
I remember I was bringing through from with B, I don't know. One of the docs, I forget which one it even was, but he was saying like the etheric education, I could feel almost the like apologetic nature of it. And it was weird feeling it because I didn't know how to write it down. You know, I didn't know how to articulate it. But it was kind of like, ah, man, you guys like have it really fucking hard and we can't really help. And like, there is not a good etheric education on your planet.
Yeah.
They're like, there just isn't. And it was almost like, sorry we couldn't help before, or like, sorry there wasn't more we could have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of that feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know you went through some shit and had some like excruciatingly dark experiences, and like, sorry, there was nothing we or divinity at large could have really done. Because that's where your planet was at.
Yeah.
That's where things were at. That was the best of the spiritual education at the time. The best of the best of the spiritual education in the hub for spirituality, right in this tiny little center of San Diego, all of the hippies got together, all of the personal development people got together and tried to develop with each other the best of the best of the best of spirituality, and most people were under deep psychic attack.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, there was nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's what I think, some iteration of that, is I think what all of us went through to get to this point. And then it's tempting to look out in the world and go, what the fuck's wrong with all of you? Like, what, like, why aren't you doing this? But like, we forget what we did to get here.
Totally.
And if there's no way I could look someone dead in the eyes and go, just do the things you think are going to kill you and then get attacked by darkness for 2 years and you'll be fucking right along your way. What the fuck are you doing? There's no way I could ever tell someone to do what I did. No fucking way. But like, I felt like I had to. And now getting to this point where it's like, I see the fruits of that exploration.
Oh yeah.
And they're just fucking ripe and blossoming. And it's like just this endless fucking, like just overflowing waters of fulfillment. It's like, this is why I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're all having these very, very similar experiences where we've gone through things that we wouldn't wish on anyone, on our worst fucking enemies. We wouldn't wish, well, maybe a classy baby or something, you know, like it's not the best saying, but for the same, you know, we wouldn't wish our journeys on fucking anyone that we even remotely cared about, not any stranger. And that's what we did. No, and that's why we're here.
That's funny. I don't know that I'd wish it on people, my experience, but I'd want them to go through something like that. And I know they'd be okay.
100%. Yeah.
That's more the sentiment.
Certainly. But like, I want people to go through, and I think this is our role to play now. I do want people to lean into the things that feel as though they're going to die.
Yeah.
When they're trusting themselves, when it's true.
Yep.
Because there were times that I did it where it wasn't true. And I was just trying to blow something up to blow something up because I thought that's how it worked.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There were times I created a lot of chaos for myself.
Yeah.
I don't want people to do that. I don't want people to have to go through trial and error to blow up selectively, you know, like certain things and not other things. And like, oh, well, I have to leave my relationship. And that's why. Then my life will be better. Yeah. You know? Like all of that psychology, it doesn't actually work like that. And I don't want people to blow up things that are true. To realize that it was true, you know? And I don't want people to have to spin in New Age spirituality with mentors that arguably know nothing and are lost and are under psychic attack themselves to bring them into the dark fold under the pretense of light. Mm-hmm. I don't want that for the world.
Definitely not.
You know? So like, that's the thing. We're like, that's the thing that we went through that I don't want anyone to ever go through again. And I know people are going through it right the fuck now, and there's nothing we can do about it. Not at this stage of our business.
Mm-mm.
But ideally, we can help people to not have to go through the etheric education through trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah, it was intense when I went through the dark phase or whatever.
Yeah.
The psychic attack phase. And the woman I was working with at the time, like, I don't know, I posted in the Facebook group or something. I was like, is anybody else having this experience? And it was like so fucking ridiculous. She's like, next time you need to call me. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
She was like very concerned, and which obviously isn't helpful. I wasn't concerned initially. I didn't really know what was happening. But what I did know, because I was getting taken out of my body all the time, and there were these like weird little ET creatures that would come around and measure me with a clipboard, and or they'd write their notes down on a clipboard. Like there was all sorts of weird shit happening.
Those weird little fuckers.
Yeah. Not of light.
No.
But I also kind of liked it because I liked the novel experience and the storytelling.
Same. Same.
And I thought it was cool that I had a story that unlike anybody else's.
Yep.
So there were all these like other pieces wrapped up in it. But there was always this feeling that I was like, oh, this will be helpful someday. Like, this fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be helpful someday. And I don't know that it ever has been, other than when people tell me about their dark experiences. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Oh, it's certainly fucking helpful for what we're doing now. Oh. Certainly fucking helpful. In two ways. For us, I think it's uniquely helpful because people are going through those experiences right now. We can spot it in a fucking instant.
True.
I feel that feed drop in when someone's even teaching and I go, fuck them, I'm done. I don't ever want to see that fucking person's face again. I know that fucking intelligence. Mm-hmm. I know it because I've worked with it and mm-hmm. it's dog shit. I want nothing to do with that person. You know what I mean?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So one, I think that's uniquely helpful for us. Yeah. But for everyone on the cutting edge now, it was the only fucking way. The only way. The only other way would have been to lean on someone who'd already gone through it. Where the fuck was that?
Yeah, they weren't. Not even my mentors. Both of them at the time.
Had, same.
Yeah, nothing. They just kept trying to like clear my house and like do all this work and clear the family that I nannied for, clear their house because they thought maybe I picked up something at their house and brought it back to my house.
Yep.
I'm like, what am I into? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? What do you mean I picked up something?
Yep.
Now I'd be like, no, I didn't fucking pick up anything.
Yeah.
Fuck you. But then I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I did pick up something. I don't know. I don't think I did. I don't know how to do that. But now
it's so fucking obvious zooming out. It's like, okay, so you're going to Black Magic Rituals with this mentor.
Yeah.
And then you feel weird afterwards. Maybe stop going to the Black Magic rituals and things will smooth out quite a bit. And by the way, call in fucking light and ask that your house be cleared and then leave the fucking program.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's so fucking crystal clear where that stuff comes in.
And it's like, okay, don't make me bad and wrong and say that I picked up something while I was nannying and then brought it to my house and now infected all my roommates.
And it really says something that the mentor was kind of freaked out about it, right? Because it's like, hey, obviously you don't have a handle over these energies that are coming in your container.
Yep.
Like, if you don't know what to do, then why the fuck are you walking me through this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's because nobody fucking knew how to get through that stuff.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
Yeah, there was not a single person in my life that could look at what I was doing and what I was feeling and what I was sorting through and go, okay, look, this is all undifferentiated thought space right now, but sometimes you're plugging into what everyone thinks you should be doing in the collective field. Other times you're plugging in to your old biological misconceptions of what spirituality needs to be. So there's even some like Jehovah's Witness shit leaking in into your imagination of what spirituality should be. Other times, like you're plugging into light and that's the thing you're trying to follow. So let's just cut out this other stuff and learn to differentiate it out and you'll be fucking golden. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no one that was like, this feels weird because it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it feels weird because it's your trauma. Like, have you done Byron Katie's The Work yet and flipped it on its head and reversed it and made it blah, blah, blah. Did you do your mirror work today? Like, it's probably weird because you didn't do your mantras this morning, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Everything comes back on you being bad and wrong and what you did or didn't do and how committed are you to this path or not. But it's not actually like, it's actually because I'm a shitty teacher. All I'm doing is pulling through darkness. I'm just pulling through black magic and my tactics are really fucking shady. So that's why you feel like shit. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like that's not what's getting said.
Yeah. It's hard in those settings. Here's why trial and error is so hard through the etheric education and why I really think what we're doing is so fucking important. Trial and error is tough because when you are interfacing with darkness, you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
That's what the mechanism does. Mm-hmm. It makes you doubt yourself and get insecure.
Yep.
When you're working with light, you get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You get really uncomfortable and it's like, fuck, like the, oh shit. Like, what the, you know, it's like, it feels, so it's like, I should probably just go to the one where I'm doubting myself because that's probably better than this thing that just feel. It's like, you got to end this relationship. You got to stop working with these people. Like, you got to pull your fucking life together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I have to change fucking everything. And it's like, oh yeah, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the relief you're looking for. Like that's the next thing for you. Mm-hmm. But it feels as though it's impossible.
Yep.
But then you go right back to the doubt and you doubt that it's possible even more.
Yep.
And then you spiral on all the things wrong with you and darkness hands you solutions.
Yep.
And goes, well, you know, what you should really do is just work your way up to it. You know, just slowly. It just tries to derail you any way it can.
Yep.
So it's tough because when you're interfacing with darkness will twist the light that you're getting. and the light in itself is already uncomfortable. Like, you got to be able to sort out the texture of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we use the technology of peace. That's why it's so fucking important, because that darkness and that spin and that doubt cannot penetrate your peace. Mm-mm. And it's not being in peace all the time. That's very fucking late stage. That's some shit that I'm aspiring to be able to be in peace all the time. Like, the real thing is, like, especially at the beginning, it's like, can you find peace for 35 seconds in your day and make your decisions from that? And maybe it's like, you got to sit on your ass and feel and cry and, like, move through a bunch of shit. And then you feel your, like, energetic kind of settle. And then you know the truth, and then just do that. And then whatever happens outside of that, when you're fucking spinning and all over the place, like, okay, this is my spin. That was my piece. Follow the piece. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's what it starts like. But yeah, it's a gnarly fucking landscape. It's really fucking hard. And that's why we are where we are. And it all just drives home the significance, right? It's like, we have to know that we've actually done something here.
Yeah.
Or else we have another false reality context. It's not true that everyone's stupid and behind, just like it's not true that we're stupid and behind. You know, we're just trying to put somebody stupid and behind. Mm-hmm. But we've just defied the biological capabilities of our era, which means we're actually paving the way into something. And if it's good, which it is, then that's a good thing. It means we've developed a field of study that's going to be transmittable to other people, that's going to bring the world more peace. You know, that's going to help people to not live in those shitty experiences that we did, either pre-awakening or during awakening.
Yeah.
That's a really, really, really fucking big deal. And it's like, going back to even all of the catastrophic timelines and all of that, like, if we're really working with God, if we're really working with divinity, if this light is true within our beings, which is being validated all the time, don't you think light would preserve to the best of its ability, even more than the average person, someone who justified the biological capabilities of humanity in the direction of light? Like, don't you think it would be fucking hands on deck to preserve the technological advancement of light on this planet? You know, like, wouldn't light try to do everything it can to preserve us? Mm-hmm. Like, those are kind of the places where you can rest when, even in those fucking crazy timelines, it's like, yeah, some shit's gonna go down. Mm-hmm. Almost certainly.
Yeah. When has it not?
Yeah. But, like, we're going to be navigated through it because we've defied our biological capabilities. We're more capable to settle into our peace, more capable to pull our truth, more capable to make deeply aligned and precise decisions than 99.99% of the population.
Yeah.
Like, if our life's going to fucking hell, then imagine the rest of the world.
Right.
Like, all that is a scenario that got slightly worse, and we're uniquely capable to help everyone around us.
Yep.
Like, is it really that bad?
Right.
To be the center node of peace in a community that's losing its mind. It's really that bad.
Mm-hmm. I know, I think about that. Hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I feel like I've been talking forever.
I'm here. I'm listening. I like it.
It's a cool topic talk.
I already
starting to feel
it.
Into some of the edges of it. What is darkness?
Oh.
Where does it want to take things? You feel anything else floating around?
No, I have to pee.
Okay, cool. While we wrap up, there's a new tier in our membership.
Oh yeah, I did feel that.
Yeah, called Life in the Ideal. And it's an Instagram live where we can hop on and do hot seats, like, virtually. Like, you can, like, get invited on and then come on, and both of our faces are on screens, and me and Miriam are on top and you're on the bottom, and we can hash things out of the screen on your phone. on Instagram
well,
Live.
I originally wanted to call it toasted buns.
Oh yeah, so toasted buns.
Just another sexual innuendo.
Yeah, we wanted to call it toast, or Miriam wanted to call it toasted buns, and I liked it a lot. But it's a play on hot seats. But you don't know what it is until you say hot seats. So yeah,
it's just so life in the ideal is way better.
Yes. So it's like this conversation is what we're doing, you know, and I love
being in like real people's examples though.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Same. When we can teach into actual experience, it hits so much fucking harder. And when we can teach into your personal experience, it hits even fucking more, you know?
Yes.
That's where all those connections eventually have to be made anyway. This can't all be cognitive. It has to like hit into life experience.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, that's peace.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh shit, that's my evolutionary edge. That is incredibly uncomfortable. And we're like, yeah, you know, certain doom. Uh-huh. Like uncertain, like it feels like you're gonna die. Like that's not a fucking metaphor. Like actually, it's like, no, my life's gonna end. It's like, yeah, we know. This is what we've been saying.
that's what we're talking about.
But yeah, it feels relevant to this whole conversation because I think we haven't had a place to do what we just talked about.
Right.
To help people sort through those things, to skip those huge chapters of life, to you know, it's like when shit gets hard, we have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have a space where we can do that, where we can hop on and it's like, yo, shit's going sideways and I don't know what the fuck's going on. It's like, okay, tell us about it. You know, what's actually here? And we get to unpack it live in real time. And those containers are just, I think we take for granted how common our experiences are. So when we're in a group of other people that are all sorting through the exact same biological manipulations that are happening on this planet, you know, and then finding the exact same organizational intelligence that is divinity, it's like it just rounds out the experience so much where it's like, oh, this is really fucking real. And I can feel it in their life and their life and their life and their life and their life. And no matter how hard this is for me, I can trust it because I can see it and all. I can see and feel the truth.
Right. Yeah, it's super cool.
So if you want to check it out, just go to members.secondparadigm.com. You'll see it on there. Life in the Ideal.
Formerly known as
Toasted Buns. Oh, yeah. Come get your buns toasted. Live on Instagram.
God, that's what they do. They make those like sexualized burger commercials.
Yeah.
That's what that voice reminded me of. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I love toasted buns.
You'll know if you're supposed to be there.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It feels cool to be able to like start to open up pockets of work. Because we've literally just been going relentlessly and building this body of work. It's been all research and development.
Yeah.
The entire time. This is literally the first container we've had that isn't research and development.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. The very first.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's members. But members has served as research and development for most of the life of members. There's still, it's like we're pulling through things. The incubator and Inner Solidity kind of took the role of members. So I guess members has been the, like our live in the energy, like those channel transmissions haven't been as much research and development. They have been more of a container.
Yeah.
But not like this. Not from the start of like, this is literally to help. And there's nothing else. Like we're not developing work here. The work's developed. It's done.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Wow. Who knew? That's cool. That actually fits with that message that I got with Instagram. Getting back on Instagram, it was to gather the people.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's funny because we're using Instagram as the platform for Life in the Ideal. And it's a gathering of people on the live.
Yep.
That's cool. Ugh, you just never know when you get those fucking messages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this could be a total flop. No one could join us.
Sure.
It's totally possible. I mean,
we already have four people in it.
Well, that's true. But I could have gathered no one. So it could... Whatever. Yeah. It's not a total flop.
No.
It's not a flop at all.
No.
It can't be a flop. Anyway, I don't know. You just never know.
It just feels, it feels cool. At the very, like, I love these things because at the very worst, we're laying foundation. You know, it felt the same with Topic Talks. It's like, we're going to put these things out and they're not going to pop off and make us a shit ton of money. It's not even the purpose of
them.
No. But it feels important to lay foundation and to have these topics talked about.
Yes.
Because we're not going to be talking about these topics later.
Right.
We'll have talked them to death so many times in the podcast that it's going to feel so irrelevant to talk about them anymore.
Yes, agreed.
You know, so like, know, to have so an archive nice of just... our concepts. Oh my God. Yeah. And it lets us hash shit out so much further.
I know.
Yeah. I really, really love the feel of the second paradigm right now. Just how it's opening and like transitioning into this, like, all right, you've researched, you've developed. Now you get to build some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. In our magazine, our July magazine, if you want to get in on that and you're not a part of members, you can do the quarterly subscription.
Yes, right? You can. Oh, yeah. Yeah. $20 a quarter.
Yeah.
For our quarterly magazine. Or it's $20 a month for all of members and all of our channel videos and our events.
And the magazine.
And the magazine.
Everything we do is a very bad business decision.
Yes. 100%.
Especially when you tell people to check in and see if it's here for them and you don't get them into like a state of like panic and manic and that they need to buy.
Yeah. Like ideally we make you feel from marketing perspective that Life in the Ideal is the only solution to all of your problems and you're going to spin endlessly into turmoil for the rest of your life if you don't join.
Yep.
But that's probably not true.
No, you'll be just fine.
Yes. the truer truths are typically, I can see how this will speed things up. Like I can see how this, there's a big sigh of relief from being supported in this way. And I can feel that it's synchronized with my life experience and I can feel my soul calling me to it.
Yep.
Like that, that has to be the truth.
Yeah. It has to be like an actual true sovereign decision. Yep. Like that's, I've talked about that to death, but.
Yeah.
But I really feel that. Because when it's not,
there's very little to pull through for those people.
Yep. Yeah.
Very little. But when it is, it's like, yep, you're in sync with this exact container. It's the purpose of it. And everyone here in the group is going through complementary reality configurations.
Yep. It ends up being really helpful for the whole.
Oh my God. So good.
But it, it starts with people having to trust themselves initially in what they're getting.
Very true.
Yeah, it's cool. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Same. Same. Yeah, I love what we do more every day.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you look out there. Ugh, I can't with the storable totes.
Yeah.
I unfollowed this lady because she's all about fear mongering. Well, she's not, but she is. I don't know. And then I followed her again and watched her stories. I should have just watched her stories and not followed her, but I followed her again and then watched her stories. And I was like, God damn it. But it was good because it sent me on a whole tailspin of, hey, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're going to get anything, don't get those fucking totes.
Yeah. Yeah, if this is really up for you and you haven't read my blog on thesecondparadigm.com called You're Prepared, go read it. Because it's lots of the same thing. It's important to know why we are prepared and it's not because of any of the things that we're trying to justify. It's because of a real-time personal connection to divinity.
Yep.
So with that, keep going.
Keep trusting. Keep trusting. Welcome home.
Bye. Bye.
I can't sing.